joined here in the studio by Paul Connell to break down the game and the state of the Tar Heels. Good morning. How are you?
It's always nice to come back for our annual semi-annual
Welcome
visit.
To the
and,
studio.
Yes, yeah. the new digs are they're great, man. They're really good and nice to see you.
Yeah.
And hope you had a good holiday season.
Hope you had a good one too. Yeah.
It was just
mine
fine.
Was quiet, which was very nice.
Yes. Darn quiet. I've moved from Chapel Hill to Durham, so I have my first Bull City Christmas. New digs looking over Deepak in the ballpark, and the train goes by so often you don't even notice it.
That's good.
It's just absolutely fantastic. Let's talk about some football.
All right,
These Tar Heels, you mentioned it right there. You know, not the bowl game we kind of expected or wanted, but it's the one we got. Mm-hmm. And the arc of this team has been, you know, exciting, full of promise. There's potential. Unfulfilled, little disappointing. Okay, gather it up. Where do we go from there? And the answer is, who are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the answer is, who are, and that's not an existential question. This is really, you know, where we're talking about, you know, who are we, and it's the question we ask at the end of every football season. But this one is kind of different because, you know, Carolina really, there's a mirror here with college football itself, and we are now, you know, fully hip deep into the NIL world.
Right, right.
And, you know, these bowl games. You started to see it last year, but these bowl games moving forward, they will take an entire different feel and look. And
oh,
there
for
will
sure.
be, and it's why, you know, look, the NCAA expanded, you know, is expanding the college football championship because, you know, purportedly, well, you know, there are more good teams and we want to make sure that we get the appropriate national champion. But the reason that they're
it's a
really
long way of saying money.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank you. Always follow the cash. But the this is just like it was the same way back in Watergate. We can talk about that. But anyway, I digress. But the you know, the simple fact is they expanded it because there is going to be a cadre of teams moving forward that are the haves.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of the 90% of them every year are going to be the ones that have always had.
Right.
And then there's going to be the rest of
them.
There's
going to be a few.
And you leave those two spots open for the, you know, for the dark horse. But really, it's, well, we've got this big base of, you know, of elite football teams, mm-hmm. and we have to accommodate them because they're the ones that are going to be vying for the championship here. And, you know, and if we don't, we piss them off. Well, you're going to see, you know, independence. You're going to see more fracturing of conferences. And it really is. It's just that. You know, it's an amazing, amazing scenario.
Mm.
And, you know, so what does it mean for Carolina? Well, it means that you have to go to this bowl game. And first off, you know, it sounds cliche, but you just have to compete.
Right.
We've had games where Carolina has gone at the end of the season where there's either been disappointment or, you know, disillusionment or, you know, players left, whatever, and we didn't compete. Can't have that now, you know, because every minute of every opportunity is a recruiting opportunity.
Right.
And you're not only recruiting for new players, you are recruiting your own players to keep them. But, you know, most importantly, you are recruiting to maintain a fan base.
Mm-hmm.
You're recruiting to maintain excitement, and you're recruiting to maintain and extend and amplify the Carolina brand.
That's a really good point, because I was just about to say, how big of a deal for recruiting is a bowl game that no one cares about or no one claims to care about? That's it right there. I think it's recruiting the fans and
it's
making sure that they stay excited.
It is maintaining your base. It's maintaining your core. And if this is starting to sound like a political campaign, it is.
Right.
It's all a political campaign. And it's, you know, from the coaches, you know, all the way out. And, you know, it's either if you're talking about the program, it's, hey, we're going to make the most of this because this is who we are and this is what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the light you try and shine on this is, you know what, we are now not just a collection of teams or a collection of players. We're a program.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about a program is, plug anybody into anywhere and the system still works. We're going to prove to you that the system still works.
Mm-hmm.
So what we'll find out today, you have another quarterback that, you know, would usually start at the beginning of a season in any other season, but you've got a guy starting in a bowl game that, just like our previous quarterback, could pretty much use the same razor all year.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and here he's gone. You've got Connor Harrell. He's in Alabama, you know, a three-star prospect. He's won state championships, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, now he's going to get his chance.
Yep.
And, you know, the challenge for Carolina is this is not Drake May. This is not a pocket passer. This is not a guy that's going to drop back. He's a little bit shorter. He's faster. He's more athletic. Okay, what do you do about that? You have to move the pocket around. You have to, give him a chance to exercise and show some of his versatility. Who's he going to throw to? You know, all of those things come into the pocket or into the process. But the biggest, best thing that Carolina have going for them is Amarian Hampton.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Amarian Hampton, because he wasn't supposed. You talk about wasn't quite what you expected. We weren't sure who was going to be the guy in the backfield.
Right,
it was
right.
Going to be British Brooks. You know, who's it going to be? And Amarian Hampton steps up, and this guy is a monster.
Mm.
He is, you know. I try and come up with some type of a grasp for he reminds me of Walter Payton. His legs never stop driving. The guy is never down. He's a coiled spring, and a guy like that, man, you love to see somebody like that in your backfield, because I don't think that other than probably the game against Duke where he had 31 carries. And the game against Miami, where he had 24 carries, he was not fully utilized, because I don't think anybody expected him to need to be fully utilized, and he was. And he's a building block. Like, mm-hmm. He's a guy at your core where you look and you go, okay, let's go play, because that is, if you're looking at one aspect of Carolina football, you go, oh, well, that's fundamentally sound.
Yeah. Speaking with Paul Connell, and I like in my head about the fact that I just said, well, no one cares about the game. No one cares about the game because it's the end of 2023, and people are thinking about this game as the end of 2023. We should be excited about this game and think about it as the start of 2024.
That is the goal and objective. Everybody is this.
Because I mean, we're talking about Connor Harrell is having an opportunity to have a breakout today, which he absolutely could. It's Josh Downs, right, who had the huge, huge game in the Orange Bowl, and that just propelled him forward for the following year. Who could potentially step up for the Tar Heels today and have a big game and propel them forward to next season? Could it be a single player? Could it be an entire team? Could it be someone we don't know anything about? All of this could happen
I think the guy that has to take a big step, and he has to take a big step in maturity and leadership and I'm the guy, without beating his chest.
Right.
And, it's J.J. Jones.
Mm.
You know, he has speed. He's on the outside. He has a chance to be he has time to separate himself from the crowd and be, I am the guy. And now you've got a new guy that's going to be thrown to you. Does that matter? I'm going to totally turn it on its head here. We were talking about this before we were on the air. Here's my key to the game. It's the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go deeper on this, the offensive line is the key to college football moving forward, because these are the guys that are going to stay 3 years.
Right.
These are the guys that might stay 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
These are the guys that are protecting and will need to protect the 1 year quarterback, the 2 year quarterback, the 1 year running back.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm trying to get ahead of the curve here. And I have always said, said this about 3-4 years ago with the Chacos boys, we would talk about, if I were building a football team, a college football team, and I was like, man, I want to stick around. I don't want to go in here. And I was given the time and a reasonable expectation. Here is what I would do. Here is where Deion Sanders failed in Colorado.
Right.
I would not go out and recruit the top quarterback, the receiver, whatever.
Yep.
I would gather up all my NIL money. I would gather up my coaching staff. This is where I'm a huge fan of, hey, does anybody want to hire Jeff Saturday?
Mm.
And I would go and I would get and be enamored with the best offensive lineman in the entire country.
Yeah.
And they're a unit. These guys, they all go to the same camps together. They played high school. They know each other because it's this quiet fraternity of these strong men.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You go out and you get the top three offensive linemen, in the country. that's it. That's the building block for your success.
Oh, for sure.
Because the rest of the linemen are going to go, man, I want to play next to that guy for the next 3 years. Any quarterback's going to go, oh, I want to play behind those guys.
Yeah.
Any running back's going to go, wow, you got these linemen and the quarterback. You know, you see where this goes.
Yep.
And now you've got a dynasty. And
yeah.
you got to remember that that's how Carolina football was known 10 years ago. They were Lineman University. At one point, they, you know, I think it was 12 or 14, we had the most active lineman in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Speaking again with Paul Connell, you're speaking my language on this because you know I grew up in Michigan. I'm a Lions fan. I grew up watching Barry Sanders and Johnny Morton and Herman Moore, these world-class backfield guys, go 5-11 year in, year out because they didn't have any protection. Barry Sanders running for 6,000 yards and gaining 490.
Walter Payton and, you know, Barry Sanders and, you know, you even go back to a huge, 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 just a generational talent, Earl Campbell.
Yeah.
These guys never won
yeah.
Super Bowls. I
Whereas
mean, of course,
Smith,
of course,
who
you
is,
know, Peyton won toward the end.
Right. But, whereas Emmitt Smith, who was not as good as Barry Sanders, won multiple Super Bowls, ended up with more rushing yards because he had a line.
But, yeah. you know, Art Chansky, if he was sitting in the other room, would be like, well, you know, let's talk about the offensive lines for the Patriots and what that meant. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, you go back to, you know, John Hanna and then, you know, the tradition of good offensive linemen. Mm. And then you talk about my favorite team, of course, which is the Steelers. You look at that front line, you know, that started in the 70s. Why have they not been able to, you know, dominate or, you know, compete as well over the past, you know, 5-6 years? They've had injuries. They've had problems with the offensive line. It really all starts there because, and even more so than defense, because what you're doing is you control the ball, you control the time, you control the game. And we'll see what happens, you know, today and in all these different bowl games, because without an offensive line, you know, if there are problems there, there's an opportunity for people to have a less of an instinctive performance, and that's where injuries happen.
Mm. Speaking with Paul Connell, got to start wrapping up, but as we do, again, the game is happening today, 5:30, game one of 2024, if you want to look at it like that, which I think we should, looking ahead to the future of Carolina football. I know as we wrap up, we want to reflect on the past as well and some of the Tar Heel legends that we, or one of the Tar Heel legends in particular that we lost recently, who I know you had a lot of thoughts about in relationship.
Look, we know
with.
we're all talking about Eric Montross. It's tough not to make it personal when you talk about Eric Montross.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be really clear. I did not know Eric Montross. I interacted with Eric Montross as everybody did.
Right.
He was kind enough to know me every time he saw me, and that's that give you a warm feeling. And I don't post a lot, but the statement that I made about Eric Montross was, and I did this because on the fortunate chance that I have every once in a while, I do public address for the Smith Center for UNC basketball, and you always sit next to him, and he sits in this big throne of a chair, and you know, he is just literally larger than life. And look, I'm 6'7", and he dwarfs me physically, but from a standpoint of intelligence or humor or humility or just kindness, he dwarfed all of us, everyone he stood around. And yet, never, ever, ever did he make anyone feel small. Mm. And boy, we could all have a little bit of Eric Montross taking that forward. And, you know, I'm fond of saying at the end of, you know, anytime I'm on the radio, hey, take a look around.
Yep.
Somebody needs a hand. Somebody could use a hand up, a little help. Do it. And you know why? Because you can. And if you look at Eric Montross, he looked around his world every single minute of the day and was like, who can I lift up? Mm. Who can I say hello to? Who can I smile at? And he did. And it's a life well led. And our hearts go out to the Montross family. Thank you for sharing him with us.
It's the fact that when he passed away, no one talked about 1993. No one talked about what he did in the NBA. Some people talked about his time in the broadcast booth. Everyone talked about him as a person.
Well, because, that's, you know, legacy. But that was his, look, his entry into so many worlds
yeah.
was, you know, the bloody game. It was the college, you
right,
know, the,
right.
the heart and the soul of, you know, him playing for Dean Smith and, you know, even what he did after that. That was the entry. That was his hiring into our lives.
Yep.
But it was his performance, his character, his consistency, his humanity that kept him in our public view.
Again, getting back to football, 5:30 kickoff time for the Duke's Mayo Bowl. UNC taking on West Virginia. Paul Connell.
Omarion Hampton runs the ball. Harold does not turn it over. Our defense plays rock solid. Bend but don't break. Carolina by 11.
We'll take it. Paul Connell, thank you so much. As always, Happy New Year.
You too.